It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's welcome in a full studio today. Let's start with the professional in all of our lives, Jamie Rivers. What's going on, buddy?
Get off your phone, Gary.
Oh, see?
Holy fuck.
He is the professional phone monitor.
Unfucking
real. Jamie Rivers.
We haven't even started. He's over there fucking fogging up his screen, literally, on the phone. What the fuck is your problem? What are you so important at that you can't take this hour to get off your phone?
Huh?
Exactly. Coach Gary Henson, folks.
I'm on my phone.
Acting like he's 12 and just got his first iPhone.
You know what? Up. I'm just looking. You know what? Jamie Rivers stuff.
You know what I've done though.
Here we go.
You know what I've done though to help keep Gary straight?
Straight. That's a loose term.
You know, we brought in an.
I didn't know Rivers was spelled D-O-U-C-H.
So I
forgot the E.
We got contacted by a young gentleman wanting to do an internship. He's a marketing major at SLU. Big sports fan, loves the Cardinals, loves the Blues, and he thought he was applying for an internship to learn about some real-world experience, but what he had no idea what we were doing was we were bringing him in to keep track of Gary while he was on his phone. So let's welcome our newest intern Will.
Yeah, Willie.
Will Kendall. What's
you know
going
what
on, Will?
We're going to call him Big Willie from now on.
Slick Willie.
That can only Sounds work good. Well. No, Big Willie. That
Big
can
Willie?
Only work the best way for him.
That works for me.
That's right. See?
So you know, big Slick Will, Big Willie,
big
whatever
Willie.
You want to call him.
Big Willie style.
Going to do all the dirty work behind the scenes. He's actually tabulating and doing all kinds of stuff with the contest, so he got that fun stuff because, you know, we like to do the extra things where people can earn all the extra points. I don't think we realized how hard that was going to be, but that's why we got Will. So, Will, I don't know that you're ever really going to learn anything here, but you will learn some worldly things here. But, you know, when
you'll learn some things.
The people at SLU, you know, when they want to know if it's real-world experience, we've got some chicken wire and we can get
Mr.
dry cleaning.
Would like to know how many for lunch.
Yes. So if you'd like to take care of our menial tasks, we welcome you to the show. So
seems
sit back.
Soul solitary.
Yeah, we're going to have him. We're going to have him translate for Kimball and Henson.
Yeah. So spelling. Like
you're
going
to have
check spelling.
Brush up on your Lucky Lake lingo.
Yeah.
Too.
Do you like? That's your first order of business is to look up Lucky Lake, see where it is, see how many miles it is from here. That'd be a good start. Anyway. So.
How many Kimball heads between here and Lucky Lake? So. That's the way we're going to do
two.
It. Like 3.5 Kimball heads.
So this means we've made it. Like we have an intern. We're somebody. Like I feel like the
and
guy, like
we
the
have
jerk.
An intern that's Big Willie.
Yes, Big Willie. It's like Steve Martin and the Jerk. I'm somebody.
I like
the
it.
The phone books are here. So
anyway,
Will, welcome. And like
he
I said,
hates these cans.
I'm not quite sure what you're going to learn here. It might not all be good, but it'll be worldly.
He's already picked up on the fact that Cromer gets pissy. Hey,
man, what was that?
Holy fuck! For those who are listening, we get in here. The studio is. It looks like we've been robbed, like it really does. We'll take a picture and we'll post it later on our Twitter. And it does look like we've been robbed. But the exciting news, of course, is we're moving to a bigger, better studio right next door, and it's going to be sick. However, it does look like we've been robbed, and we're piecemealing this together with plugs everywhere. And the headphones weren't working.
That has nothing
Oh, my God. You'd have thought somebody took a hot poker and hit Cromer right in the nuts.
That is
His nostrils flared up so much, all the oxygen left the room. We were struggling over
He was hot.
He was
so hot, I had to take my hoodie off because it was like exterior heat. I was like, holy fuck, I'm sweating in here. Willie was like, I don't know, I might be fucking out of here today.
He's flaring his nostrils large enough to suck up Kimball's head.
We almost had a fight in here. Well, you were here. We almost had a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Henson and Cromer almost had a fight.
Wow, it got close. We were going to go, that's for sure.
Hey, more important.
Oh, here we go. Hey, block and bridge.
It's not worth talking about on here. Hey, here, we got a tweet that you're going to be interested in.
Of course I am.
How many Red Bulls do I have to ship over to St. Louis to get an episode of STL Podcast? Probably too fucking many. This guy's ready.
Oh, he thinks we've been behind or something?
No, I just think he's ready.
Well, tell him to send over as many because his fucking bank account can handle. How many
you got is what I'm going to tell him.
Yeah. All right, better ship them to the right address, not the one where we're getting robbed.
Yes, we do not want to get robbed, but yes, you're correct.
I'm uncomfortable in here.
Why?
There's nothing. Well, nothing to look at.
Well,
I can't look at my phone.
Why can't you look at your phone?
Well, because Rivers will jump my shit about it.
Well, it's not that if you were just occasionally on
your phone. Come on, man. I'm the oldest guy in the room. So when I look at my phone, I have to remind myself about the game.
Which, by the way, his phone is the size of an iPad.
And he's got glasses.
Let's just get stuff straight right now. You sit there with a freaking legal pad and a pen and look at that and write shit down because...
No, I don't. Look at that. It's called bullet point. LeBron. Look at LeBron James over there with the skin-tight shirt on underneath the Kendry thing.
I got to hold all this in.
Are you staying warm?
No, I got to hold it all in somehow.
Holy shit. It looks like he's trying to stay warm over there. Like he might get the fucking tap.
It accentuates my muscles.
Oh, my God.
Might.
Keeps it in. It looks like a bag of mashed potatoes over there.
It's so I don't stub my toe on my guts.
So cool.
So, hey, it looks like somebody put 4 pounds of mashed potatoes in a Ziploc bag.
No.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Awesome at being awesome. Hey, Jamie, question of the day. You ready?
Sure. Yep.
If I would have told you last week on the show, we're going to go out west and we're going to come home with 5 or 6 points, would you have took it?
Oh, yeah. I told you.
Anytime. That's my point.
You asked John Madden questions.
Well, I'm just bringing up the obvious.
Thanks, Cap Obvious.
Well, that was the whole point.
Like he was ever going to say, no. I really wanted that.
Well, I could have been Gary Henson and just been fucking negative.
I'm not negative.
Oh, yeah. Eh?
Come
Mr.
on.
Mr. fucking cream spinach.
Well, where I was
not looking forward to that at all. That was a realistic thing.
No,
it
will be, though.
5 out of 6 in any... At any time is unbelievable, but you know we had been talking a little bit about where we were at, had some injuries, had some things going on, and then all of a sudden,
Braden Schenn was not back in the lineup yet. He was scheduled to possibly play on the road trip, and he comes back. So yeah, he's got a point. Hence, come on now.
You know, so I look at it.
I can't wait
like,
till we can do this and record it live, so everybody can see the facial expressions you make after you say something about Cromer.
I was talking about you, though.
No, yeah, thank you, but I'm pumped.
So, I'm trying to let Cromer talk,
so
actually.
I'm pretty impressive, but as Schenn comes back, we lose Tarasenko for, I know it's an upper body injury, but when you say, we're going to reevaluate him in 10 days, that tells me it's a concussion.
No. Slow down, Happy.
No.
No shape or form would they even say reevaluating 10 days there's a concussion. That was
They didn't say concussion. It tells me concussion.
No, but you're, what tells you then you fucking seriously have problems because
concussion. What's 10 days?
A concussion automatically
AC joint in the shoulder.
Hang on. A concussion automatically is a day-to-day injury. Almost automatically because you change day-to-day. I know they say a minimum of a week and they're precautionary and all this stuff, but a concussion quite honestly is day-to-day. And day-to-day can be, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. It can be 60, 70, 80 days. But I'm just telling you, this is not what I believe is a concussion. I think it's an upper body injury, like they say. But the upper body injury being from, like, the waist to the shoulders, not above the shoulders like you, Cromer. But
oh, I got some injury.
Upper body injury. I think that he had a spill in the L.A. game, obviously. People are saying it's not his shoulder, so, and Jeremy Rutherford's reporting that he saw him put his fucking suit jacket on, which I don't know. We're really digging deep for that one. But still, he put his suit jacket on. I think it's elbow-related. And sometimes when you rupture a little burst of sac in your elbow, it can get really swollen and tender, and it can get infected because obviously there's sweat and all that kind of shit. So I'm going to say he's 10 days maximum.
You're getting pretty getting pretty specific for a vague answer. Almost like you might know a few things.
I'm just trying to keep people on edge.
Well, no, so before Gary, am I wrong?
So let's just keep going without Gary.
Okay, well, I was under the impression
give his phone
that
back, Willie.
I thought, now again, for listeners, myself included, I thought that when any time there was anything to the head, it was a minimum of a week. Is it not?
Not necessarily, no.
Rules about that?
I thought there was a rule that it's a minimum. No? Okay, well, you're teaching us. Go ahead.
Well, there might be after, a certain diagnosis, but I'm just telling you right now, this, to my knowledge, to say it's not a concussion.
I know, but I'm asking, are there, because we have legit rules.
Now he's going to hold me to it. Now I got to say it on record. People are going to light me up.
I don't want you on record about
your
Tarasenko. I don't know what does the NHL have certain rules. I mean, I know they do, but day to day, right? So we have legit, a kid gets dinged 24 hours, no matter what. He can't even go to class.
How many fake concussions have kids pulled now, eh?
Well, yeah,
hey,
right?
Big test on Monday.
Is this where the intern Googles NHL
concussion
protocol?
They seem to be okay right after that test.
Hey, Will, do me a favor. Google McKendry days missed on Mondays.
No,
You do that, Google NHL concussion
protocol. But that's legit. That's NCAA guideline. No class, no nothing for 24. If they do something during the testing, it's 48. And those are hard, fast.
Yeah, okay. So day to day.
So I'm but 48, and then it can extend out. Well, so I'm just asking. So
I think the protocol, if it's a diagnosed concussion, I think it's a week. But that being said, okay, they wouldn't say 10 days because if it's a day to day and he feels better in 2 days, then they'll start to skate him. He'll get back on the ice. He'll practice with the team. And then when day 7 comes, per league protocol, he'll be back in full swing, red jersey on or something, no-hit jersey. Then day 8, he'll be back on the first line.
Gotcha.
So that's the way I look at it. I don't know. We got Will looking it up here. He looks at things like fucking chroma.
There was a couple things.
You think a young guy like this could be pull shit up quickly.
This is your big chance here. You were just going to sit there today. This is your big chance to come on with some info.
All the times we send it to Cromer, it takes us 45 minutes. He doesn't even know how to turn his computer on.
Whatever.
Well, it's just showing that the NHL updates concussion protocol, and then it doesn't show me the specific.
That's what I tell him. He doesn't believe me. I think he thinks I'm lying when you get on
here,
and it doesn't tell you.
We expect more from you already. Okay?
Already. So, I'm glad to hear you say that because, again, in Jamie speak, I know how you operate sometimes, and to me, that's.
You never know, right? I keep people guessing. Do I know? Do I not know? Is it an elbow?
Do I not know? Is it an elbow?
Is it a concussion? No, that I can tell you.
All I know is you speak pretty specific sometimes.
Okay, so then
since you brought
it up, and I've got it on my little notepad that Gary likes to fucking yell at me for, but it's actually relevant because it keeps us going. But,
notepad versus phone.
Well, and bullet points,
bullet
much less
points.
Than reading.
Bullet points. They're more like dashes, but we'll call them bullet
every
points.
Every time I look over, he's got Pinterest pulled up. how to fix
a
hardwood
kitchen
floor
problem.
On
he's got
Pinterest.
A kitchen problem.
Come on.
You know what you do when you have kitchen problems? You call Randy Green.
Randy Green.
InnovativeCompanies.com.
Tell us about it, Jim.
Residential, commercial, industrial. Call the construction team, heating and cooling, electric team. You might need all three.
Now, wait. You go to Randy Green.
Yes.
We talk about old school, right?
He is old school.
Handshake.
Handshake.
Type of?
Guy.
There we go. Randy Green, handshake type of guy, although I'm sure you'll probably have to sign some paperwork. You'll want to do that anyways, but you don't have to worry about Randy Green and his crew.
No, not his crew. But listen, that's your guy, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. You need a craftsman.
You know what?
In your life.
You know what, though, too? Yeah. Is it just interior, or did you have some exterior damage, too? Because if you had exterior damage, we could go to Nelson Land Services.
Nelson Land Services, the name you know and trust. It's a name you definitely know and trust. Listen, we're rolling
today.
These
guys started in the Ozarks. You can see some of their handiwork
Wait a minute.
All over the place.
That's
gorgeous
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine what they could do for Gary's house. Jim, tell them more.
Five-star locally rated company that can take care of your landscaping needs, big or small, doesn't matter. The name you know and trust, NelsonLandServices.com. But you know what happens a lot of times when you get water damage?
What's that, Jim?
You get bugs.
You get bugs. That's right. And if you get bugs, you got to go to Buckingham Pest Control. Why? Because they kill pests, not penalties,
and
Gary.
And they pass the savings on to you. Hey, you know what? Speaking of Buckingham Pest Control, we got contests coming out the wazoo, too. You know, he's giving away two tickets. He's going to be here next Monday to give them away live on the show.
These seats are good seats.
Yeah, they are good seats. Right behind the goal.
Yeah.
And
when I was on my phone, I looked it up.
While I was on my phone.
Noel has no idea why we want to party with him,
yeah.
but he just gives off that vibe.
He does.
He's probably looking at it like, what the fuck
His
is
wife,
wrong
like,
with
listens
guy?
To the show and goes, what do they mean? Like, what are you doing in there?
Yeah, she's like, basically, she wanted to know, like, what did they do in the studio that day?
How many
girls were there? Why do they want to party with you?
You know what? That makes sense.
There was no girls, trust me.
The anonymous
it was
email
just a cromer.
I got. The anonymous email I got going, hey, we're just curious. Why do you want to party with Noel? What did he do while he was there? What time did he leave? That sounds like a wife. I don't know.
Kind of, sort of.
And what an easy contest. You just go to their Facebook page. Make sure you've liked our Facebook page. Make sure you've liked Buckingham Pest Control. And then all you got to do is share his pinned post and tag three friends. And you're eligible to win. And he's going to give it away right here on the show next Monday. He's going to take Will's seat. But, Will, that's okay. That's what happens.
He's an intern. Stand up, boy.
Hang on. One more question I have,
yes.
Jim, about Gary's situation.
Yes.
If his kitchen is down, it means he can't cook, right?
No.
If he can't cook, he should be going to
Adam's Smokehouse.
Why should he go there, Jim?
Because it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. And they're partnering with us for our March 21st show, located at Mentor Arena. Best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays open until 7. Don't forget they do deliver, but not to your house.
Not so to my house, to but you
it.
Know what I'm going to do?
Send the intern.
I'm going to pull a Rivers at Adam's Smokehouse.
What are you going to?
I'm going to eat there and then get it to go.
You know what?
Buy one meal, take a meal home, boys. I'm telling you right now.
It's called the Rivers.
It is called the Rivers.
We should have that. We should order the Rivers. It's not a 2-for-1, but you get like a little 5% discount on the take home.
Whatever you order, you get a pint of brisket to go.
Brisket.
And that's a Rivers, the Rivers add-on. That would be pretty cool.
Now, would you be like taking a piece of Jamie home and eating it?
Oh, God.
Just name only, man. Name only.
I don't wish that on anybody.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
Oh, you imagine, speaking of lotion, how much lotion would it be to cover Gary? Seriously.
God, he's on you.
He'd be putting it on with a roller, right? That'd be unbelievable.
I don't know if a roller's big enough, man.
Or they got those new spray guns.
I think he got a spray gun, me.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well, now that we've solved Gary's problem with
we've
all
solved,
his things
I think we've
at
solved
home.
Everybody. Unless he needs some help at McKendry from SynergyHockeySkills.com.
He could. New
they
season.
Did lose. They did lose in the playoffs. They didn't make it
to
the playoffs.
And Synergy Hockey Skills can help that out. If you go to SynergyHockeySkills.com, click on there. You can find a summer camp, local lessons, and you might even find some McKendry guys out on the ice working on next season. So
working
again,
on next season.
SynergyHockeySkills.com.
Right. Wow. Back to hockey. By the way, what a buzz you created last week, too, with your announcement that your friends Tony Twist and Reed Lowe.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you were working on a third.
I'm still working on a couple of things.
Oh,
yeah.
Couple things.
Yeah, Mr. Twist has mentioned that he might have some surprises, too.
Listen, you've been friends with him a long time, right? You've done things that you probably can't talk about on the show, obviously. When he says a couple of surprises, what does that mean to you?
You know what? It could be anything, guys. I swear to God. Like, it could be from, you know, 27 little people climbing out of a VW bug and running into the Minner fan cave. I don't know. You have no idea. And they, you know, like, I'm telling you, it could be something like that. It could be something normal. But I'm telling you guys, if you spend any time with the gentleman, he operates at a very fast pace. His brain is firing on all cylinders all the time. And you just never know what you're going to get for us.
Well, it's like a box of chocolates. So it is going to be a lot of fun. Reed Lowe, obviously, as well. The big tree. We talked.
He is a big man, by the way, Gary. I actually wasted some of my time and listened to Gary talk the other day on our show. And he talked about Reed Lowe. He kept wanting to talk about how big Reed Lowe was.
Reed Lowe's huge.
He's a huge man. Now, let me ask you this. Because we do play those McKendry games every year against you guys. Now, what do some of your players think when they come skating out onto the ice and they have literally
big tree, fall hard.
A wall that's skating around on the ice.
It's not just him, though. my team is big for our level. And then when they get on the ice with you guys, they just aren't. They're not big anymore. Even Rivers looks big.
Oh, geez.
No shoulder pads either.
No, well.
Not necessary.
Big like the Liberty Bell, but, you know.
So you're saying big lower half?
I'm saying.
Like Big Willie. We'll take it.
Wide lower half. No, but really, like, I can't imagine what it would be like to run into Cam or Reed, and neither can my players, and they're out there trying not to run into them. It's a lot of fun. We get a little awestruck still. I mean, those guys still move the puck. Even Soupy's not little, you know? I mean,
are you kidding me?
Like, boy, he can still shoot.
He's like 6'2", 200 and something.
I'm not kidding. He took one step over the blue line, ripped a snapshot, not a slap shot, a snapshot, hit the crossbar and the net moved.
He can still rip it, man.
And yeah, it was, but it's so much fun, and you can really see why. Or the difference of the physique between the pro athlete and, you know, really just all the other common hockey players. It's cool as hell.
It's just interesting to hear that because, you know, we don't play anymore, obviously, and we don't play against college kids on a regular basis.
Right.
So it's interesting to see that. You know, my kids always push my fucking buttons too. Like, they're 15 years old, and my one boy's like almost 6'5" now. He thinks he's a big tough ass, you know. And the other one's like, you know, he's like 5'11", and he's like 195. He's built like a brick shit house. He thinks, oh, I'm fucking tough, right? The other day we were out on the ice just messing around. He goes, Dad, let's go 1v1. I'm like, 1v. I go, what's 1v1? He goes, 1-on-1. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm not cool like you guys. And I'm out there in my coach's shit, and he's out there as a player, and he makes a quick move, and I just give him a little shove in the chest up against the wall. And knocks him back about 3 feet into the boards, and he stops. I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, oh, he's like, knocked the wind out of me. I'm like, where are those big balls now, kid? So it's interesting to see your college kids,
man.
You know?
It's funny
shit.
The first time we ever did it, they were frustrated as hell in the first period, and we went in the locker room. And after they, like, calmed down with their frustration, here was the comment. They're all so freaking big. I'm like, even Terry.
You know?
Even Jake is a big boy on the ice.
But you got to remember, the era that most of us come from the NHL, are retired, like, now that we're retired, is like that 90s era.
Yeah.
And it was like, you talk to anybody, it was like an arms race.
Right.
How big could you get? How tough could you get?
Yeah.
And how skilled could you get?
Yeah.
Like, as far as, like, you had the Gretzky's, the Hulls, the Lemieux's, like, they had some high-end talent, and then you had some fucking mutants out there that were literally dragging their knuckles 3 feet behind them, and it was tough to survive, I'm telling you.
Big boys.
Oh, Willie's got something.
Uh-oh.
Willie, right? No, we do shit live, right into the mic. Let's go.
All right, so for the concussion protocol, it's not giving me any specifics, but it says something about a week and how they trust their medical staff.
Oh,
so trust. Basically, day-to-day.
Basically,
like I said.
All right, see, we learned something.
All right, so now let's fast forward here. Let's jump a little bit here because I jumped on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
And after the San Jose game,
right.
I gave Jake Allen some praise.
Little
did I know it would get like 1,500 fucking likes in record time. I had no idea that Blues Nation was such a trigger word. But apparently it is. Jake Allen triggers a lot of emotions. And lately, you know, I put it out there just a couple minutes ago on our way in. In the last 5 games, he has an astonishing .949 save percentage with 2 shutouts. Okay? Now, here's where Blues Nation gets heated. Is they think anytime you talk positively about Jake Allen now, what the fuck? Are you giving him the number one job back? No, I'm not. Breathe. Breathe, everyone. But, Gary, being it, you're in tune with all this, and we've had some good discussions back and forth. What are your thoughts on his play lately, where it could lead, and ultimately what the Blues need from him?
I think he's obviously, his stats prove he's done a great job. He deserved to win that game against San Jose. There is the overtime, you know, just whiffed on the glove hand, which I think people like.
Against Minnesota.
Yeah, okay. And it makes people still like not sure, you know what I'm saying? It's like we get these remarkable saves and then we get that. But, man, there just doesn't seem like a lot of that lately. That's decreased. The other thing I think as I observe him, and we talked about this with Bennington, is he looks more quiet in the, you know, between the posts. You and I talked one time about how Jake comes out and gets a little bit over aggressive and extends outside of his angles and has to scramble to get back and then, you know, gets beat or whatever. But he doesn't seem to be doing that as much.
Well, which, to pause you, because I'm not going to interrupt you, but just to pause you, Jake Allen made that one massive two-pad stack save.
Stack.
But if you look at the replay and you're thinking about what Gary just said, Jake slides over to the right a little too far,
right,
catches himself, and comes back across, and he has to go two-pad stack because going traditional, you know, pad slide across wouldn't have got him over far enough.
Right.
So that's just what you're saying. So continue.
But he caught himself, and
he
don't think that – I think maybe it's just the minutia of the game that we're maybe too much on. But
minutia. But wow. Well, put that down on big words Gary doesn't know about.
I just looked that up on my phone.
Yeah.
So but I think that before we didn't see him catch himself soon enough. I think he catches himself, but that was an early catch to get back there, and those are the kind of things that I think are different with Jake. I think he's more quiet. I think he recognizes when he may have overextended himself, and he's recognizing that quicker, and therefore he becomes a faster goaltender. And I think that's what's led to the two shutouts, the win he should have had. I mean, let's face it. If it wasn't for Jake Allen, they don't get a point against San Jose.
So all that being said then, so what are we looking at here during the last 16 games for the Blues with Jake Allen? Like, put your coaching hat on, your fan hat, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Talk to me.
I'm keeping both goalies hot. I think Bennington has to go next time because the last time he was shaky. His last time out.
His last couple have been.
He was shaky.
Interesting.
So I think this next game I give Bennington the start.
Now, are you saying it Bennington with an E?
He is saying Bennington.
He is saying Bennington.
It's B-I, and I have.
But what?
You're saying
say
Bennington.
Because listen, this is how
when
I say
when you take
milk.
Your shoes home, you
milk.
Throw them in a bin.
Yeah. There's no such thing as milk.
Do you call it a bin, or do you call it a bag?
Are you aware of anything in this? Are you aware of a product called milk?
Milk?
That's
no.
how I say it.
Although milk. I hear that Jordan Bennington enjoys drinking milk.
So
maybe,
anyway.
But wait a minute. Unless Jordan Bennington likes to drink milk.
Can both
at
of you?
At that point, there's a minutia.
There is a minutia.
Can you both kiss my ass?
No, we're going to kiss your ass.
That's a valid point. Kiss
That's
my
a
ass.
Great point. That's a Cromer funny. That's one all year.
Hey, there's Bennington. Does he have... I was watching some fight.
Wasn't there
today
a store like in the 80s called Bennington? There was.
There was.
Yeah, that's where you...
That was,
you must have worked
that
there.
That was a team.
And if you've Bennington ever seen Gary, he does look like he's stuck in the 80s.
I think it was Bennington.
Man, they're all jealous of my hair all the time. It's unreal.
Looks like Jeff Spicoli.
It's unreal. I think I go with...
No shoes.
Hey, here we go.
No
I
shirt.
I think I go with Joe.
No dice.
I think, no way.
Here, we'll fix it. I think I go with 50 the next time. The next out, I think I start 50 the next game. And then but the last 16 games, I think both goalies, it's going to be close to 8-8 for me in my world because I'm going to figure out who is really hot. Has 50 calmed down, or you know, has he backslide a little bit? Is he not as hot? And is 34 hot? So to do that, you have to play both of them and see. It's a tough spot to be in right now because of points. So that's why Berube gets paid the big bucks. Not like my big bucks at McKendree, but close.
Here's my issue with the whole thing. Jamie, I think your points were valid. I think outside of one shot on goal.
My freaking points weren't valid.
Because you can't say I.
That's right.
I could say I just don't use it in words.
All right. So, no. You were dead on two.
There's no I in team.
Where I'm going with this, though, and I'm going back to his original
There's
tweet.
A me.
If you
I'm
say
sorry.
Team, though, would you call it time?
Oh,
Tim.
You get it backwards?
Tim. So, so here's where I want to go with this, and here's my issue with the whole thing, and this is going back to Jamie's tweet and some of the replies that you got.
So Jim had an issue
okay.
with the tweet.
Well, no, I love the tweet. Here's my point on the whole thing. Here's what I don't understand. So a couple people fired back at you, which that's completely fine. You're not like that guy that's like, oh, don't question me. You well, love that. My thing is this. One of the guys was like, well, where's he been all year? Well, where have a lot of players been all year? And now all of a sudden they're playing better, and we're ready to do whatever,
wow.
right?
That's a great point
so,
by you.
Well,
Where was Vlad Tarasenko?
Drink.
That's a huge drink. Well, take a big swig of your Crown Royal Apple at home right now.
Okay. Now,
don't get Apple. Be a man and drink the regular
stuff. I'm supporting our boy Kimby. He likes Crown Royal Apple.
I know. It drives me nuts.
So all I'm saying is other players shit the bed early in the season. And, boy, we welcome them back with open arms.
Not only that, we're ready to build fucking statues for
them. That's right.
Preach.
We're building Tarasenko's. Listen, I love Braden Schenn, and he's playing great hockey. He was MIA for a while. Tarasenko was MIA. There's one guy on this team that hasn't been MIA since the day they stepped on the ice, and that's Ryan O'Reilly. Everybody else at one time or another has sucked.
You're right.
And we're fine with it. I'm going to tell you another thing. The one guy that answered you back and said, oh, so now we're going to praise a guy for doing his job. It has nothing to do with that. No, I'm not like, I mean, that must be the guy that tweets out, oh, okay, so we're gonna tell a guy, great job for being a good father. You're supposed to be a good father. I understand all that. Bullshit, though. We're talking about performance. That's all we're talking about. The guy's performing well. So what the fuck's the problem? I don't understand it.
Oh, my God. Okay, Will, your first project here is you're going to put out a soundbite on our Twitter today of Jim Cromer's rant that just happened at, like, whatever it was, 28, 29 minutes, because this is the first time he's actually ever said anything fucking intelligent and that he's done a great job at explaining it. So I got to say, Gary, that Jim is right. You know, there's a lot of guys that have been absent all year, and we are ready to build statues for them. You know, Tarasenko was, as mentioned, MIA, FBI couldn't find this guy. He was on he was on milk.
We still can't find Jaden Schwartz.
He was on milk cartons.
He was on milk cartons.
Everywhere in
right
St.
next
Louis.
To Kimby.
Yeah. And
at least I admit my faults.
Well, all I know is, like I said, not to berate the point, but we still haven't found Jaden Schwartz.
Oh.
He's still in the minutia.
We haven't.
He's still in the minutia.
He still affects the game, though, Jamie.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
He's got to score.
Okay, and here's where we really, really, really miss David Perron. Okay, and whether people thought so or not, when they thought he was a great signing or not, when we, you know, Kimby at the time was against it, I supported it. I don't remember where you were. You were kind of somewhere in the middle, not sure of the term.
Right.
Hey, I hate to cut you off. Did you say Kimby on the milk carton?
I did say Kimby on the milk carton. What is that? I smell and hear something awfully weird.
I think we may have a Kemble. Is it Kemble? It's not Kemble. It's Kemble.
Kemble? Mr. Kemble.
Kemble? Calling Dr. Kemble. Someone has seen the right milk carton and found Dr. Kemble. What's up, Mr. Kemble?
Oh, gentlemen. I tell you, the truth be known, Cromes. I've been calling the fucking show the last 5 weeks, but you won't fucking answer.
That's so because Gary's always on the phone with him.
Yeah, so I had to fucking finally, I ran into Rivs at the rink. I say, hey, what the fuck's going on over there, Rivs? Fuckers won't take my call.
Oh, no, we take your call anytime, buddy.
Hey, Kimby, honestly, ooh. I know you've been paying attention to Twitter, and we had our buddy Big Joe out there in Long Island.
Big Joe.
He put your mug on a, we'll call it a milk carton, but Gary calls it a milk carton.
You'll have to listen back today and understand.
And, yeah, in all honesty, we've been kind of tossing around the thought in here, and Will, our new intern, turned to us and said, how fucking big do you think that milk carton would have to be to put Kimball's
hat
on it?
The new intern just shit his pants.
He won't be back tomorrow. I tell fucking Joe every time he puts something on there, I give him a special tweet, and I say, why do you keep feeding this fucker? I said, he's going to keep coming. I said, slow down. I said, Jesus Christ.
Hey, here, I have a question, Darren, if you can confirm or deny. Now, how long have you known Gary? Would we say 20-something years?
Oh, easy.
I got to be right around 20. Yeah, because we probably coached together. Yeah, not, maybe not 20, but at least 15, but I knew him before that.
Yeah.
Well, that okay. Was has he
20 plus.
Has he ever called you Darren Kemble instead of Kimble?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so.
We've realized today he's got a problem with the eyes.
Yeah.
So we were wondering
fucking
if it's
up names worse than you in here.
I mean, did you know that our goaltender is Jordan Bennington, not Bennington? And did you know that your face was plastered all over milk cartons all over the country?
I did. You know what? I just ran into his mom. Okay. I just ran into his mom probably 2 months ago for the first time in my life. I ran into her at the gym in Granite City, and where the high school was playing basketball, and that she had a problem with that too. So maybe it just comes from the mom then.
It might come from the mom, wow. Not mom, mom.
Wow.
And mom. then we do have a new intern, as Gary will introduce him to you. His name's
Welly.
Well Kendall.
We've nicknamed him Big Willie.
Big Willie. But
Big Willie.
Well, no, hey, listen, man. The fans have been they've been clamoring for Mr. Kimble. So you're back.
Yeah. Yeah, here, let's hit some hot topics right away with you. Let's say fuck it.
Yeah.
All right, Kimby, where are you at on Jake Allen right now?
I'll tell you what. I was back in the day there about a month ago or 2 months ago, Riz, we were sort of talking about doing a sell on all these fucking players, right? And I think Jake's name was right at the top of the list, to be honest with you. And but he comes through, and like the last game, they get the tie. They don't get a tie unless it's Jake. He's playing well, but fuck, he goes south on you sometimes. So I guess he's got to. You need a backup though if you're going to take a run at it, don't you?
Well, I think so. You know? I think so. The last three Stanley Cup champions, Pittsburgh back to back, and then Washington last year, they had two number one goalies essentially.
Yeah,
both teams.
Correct. So, yeah. Right. I just think the way that fucking. Berube should be fucking. If he's not playing the lottery, he better be getting to Vegas soon because he's hitting. He's pulling the right cards right now, and he's hitting these guys when they're betting. You know, he didn't fucking couple games. Not that he played bad, but a couple shaky ones. But come right back with fucking Allen, then you go back to back with him on the road, and the kid comes through. So Berube's doing some fucking nice maneuvering right now, man.
Okay, so he's been doing good maneuvering now. I'm not sure if you're aware. I'm sure you are. But Tarasenko declared out for 10 days.
Yep.
All right, what kind of fucking magic has he got to pull out now?
Well, I don't know, Riz. This is going to be – but I think – so when Shen was out and they went on a little bit of a they lost a couple of games, and he come back and sort of lit a fire under this. So I don't know. Tarasenko, obviously, when the Blues started playing well, because, again, I'm going to go back to the period where I sold him down the river too. I fucking was ready to get rid of the man. And – all of a sudden, Tarasenko started playing well, and then the team started doing well. And everything come together at the same time for the Blues. The goaltender comes in, Berube starts taking over, Tarasenko starts scoring goals. You know, people start playing better, and it just got going in the right direction. But Tarasenko's a big key, man. It's like when you're playing a game of hockey and your guy scores on a regular basis, when he doesn't score – You almost go into a game, Rivs, and you've probably been there when you're playing with these guys like in Detroit when you're playing with Holly, like I also did. You're going into the game already up 1-0, and because that's how the guy was scoring goals so much. So now that's not there. Someone else is going to have to walk and step up here, and it'll be interesting to see who does that. But they've come together great as a team, so this will be interesting.
Hey, I got a question for you, Darren. You mentioned a guy in that whole thing. Where are you at in the Chiefs' role in this resurgence of the St. Louis Blues? How much credit are you giving Craig Berube for all this?
You got to give him quite a bit, actually, because it's sort of all intertwines itself, though. So it's I like to watch when I see Chief over on the bench, though. And the thing I like about Chief is he wears his fucking emotions right out there so you can see what's going on. And when people fuck up, he sits there and he's jumping behind the bench and he's getting pissed off. And maybe that trickles down, but I think he's a guy who, and again, I'll go to Riz because you got to go back to your playing day where you watch guys that would be emotional like that, and players sort of gravitate to that a little bit, the guys that have played the game, and maybe he got Tarasenko buying into it. The goaltender, I think, comes in on his own and just come out of nowhere, Binnington did, and he just started playing the way he's supposed to, and I think confidence starts growing throughout the team, but God, you know, Chief's got to be at the – he's him and Tarasenko and Binnington got to be the three guys that you sort of point to when this animal's turning around, don't you?
Yeah, well, then so that – you kind of started to answer my next question. It's really for you and Rivs. I'm assuming you – I'll start with you. You would love to have played for him then.
I don't – without a doubt. I think he's sort of like an old-school guy that if you come and put your work boots on and come and put the work effort into the game – he's going to respect you for that, and that's the way Chief was. Though he had to work for every goddamn thing he got, and the career that he had, you can have nothing but respect for the man. Because I know the role he did, because I did the role he did, and he lasted 1,000-some games with that man, and to do that much, and to go through the wars that you had to go through back in the day, and with guys, you didn't win every fight, you lose, and it was just a mental game, and So Chief's been through the process. He's been hanging around some guys when he got into the coach ranks. He's had success. And, you know, I just think you have to respect the man for what he did.
Yeah, I'd have to echo, you know, a lot of what Kimby just said. And, you know, for a guy like me, Chief would have been a blessing. He really would have been because, you know, I played the game as hard as I possibly could. And I ran around out there and tried to do whatever I could for the team and block shots and, you know, do all these things. But then, you know, I had some skill as well to play in other situations. And so I think having a guy like Chief as my coach when I was a player would have helped me tremendously. And if I look at my own career and compare him to coaches I had along the way that were very similar, I had more personal success under coaches like that. So, yeah, I'd be ready to, you know, it looks like a lot of these guys like him. It looks like they want to play hard for him. And, I mean, one of my favorite things is the gif that's going around out there where he's just shaking his hands and yells, fuck! You know, and he's, like, behind the bench. Yep. And I'm like, that is such a Chief thing to do. And, like, you can see, like, his eyes are almost crossed and it can be. Like, if the players look back, they'd probably shit their pants on that one.
Yeah, but you know, Rivs, when you played the game, and I don't care where you play it at, you can play it in the fucking minors, you can play it in high school, you can do whatever. But if a coach would tell you something, And the coach stood behind his word. So if a player went to him and said, this is what's going on, and there was a trust that would be brought between the two of you, that's all you could ask for was a guy let you go out and work your fucking ass off, and he respected you for that. And I think that's where Chief would come from. And I think Brian Sutter was the same way with me. He was a hardworking fucking guy, but if you couldn't put the effort in, Sudsy would he would stand behind you. And I respected the man for doing that, and that's why I think Chief's going to have a lot like that too.
So here, Kimby, as we go into some injuries here, we got Tarasenko's out, and Shen's just coming back, and, you know, things are kind of up in the air. Jaden Schwartz is playing hard, but he's still unable to really find the net on a consistent basis. And I know you're not fond of this player, or you weren't at the time, so I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I'll let you speak. But how valuable or invaluable or unvaluable is a guy like David Perron right now? How much would you like to see him in the lineup, or are you okay with him out of it?
Well, at the start of the season, for the first half of the season, when they were going through, the not very good, he's probably your best player, I would have to think. You know, he's putting the numbers up, and I didn't expect that, and I'll be the first one to admit that. And he's been out here for a while. The team's been playing well, but the team sort of operates when you get a winning team, you can pull somebody out and you can put somebody in, and it just seems to keep running. The machine just keeps going for some reason. So I think with Tarasenko coming out for a short period of time, Perron, with the way he was playing at the start of the season, is probably the closest thing you're going to get to replacing that man from where you're at inside the organization right now. So if he comes back and plays that way, I think that's the closest you're going to be to that situation. Whether, you know, he's been off for a long time, you know what layoffs are too, Rivs. You sort of got to get back into the flow of the game. It just don't fucking happen. And a goal scorer, they might have a little easier time with the process. I don't know that. You know, I was always a fucking grinder, but it was always hard to go through get your timing right when you're trying to hit somebody. But he's not going to be doing that. But so I don't know what a goal scorer is going to go through. So it'll be interesting to see when he gets back if he can get back to that form again.
You know, I mentioned earlier, I had kind of called out everybody and said that the one guy, if you want to say the one guy that's been there since day one was Ryan O'Reilly, I apologize. I miss David Perron. I think
they were like fucking, peanut butter and jelly there for a while.
Yep.
He was at the start of the year, and even though Jake was fucking going haywire, you know, some games you'd go off the reservation and, sorry, Ribs, I wasn't trying to go after you.
I literally just did a head shake in here.
Are you offended?
You know, even when Allen was at the start of the year, and I don't care what anyone says, I'll argue this to the point, and I know he played some bad games, and I know he was fucking getting called out, but he played a lot of good games too at the start of the season. But other than him, and you know, O'Reilly obviously has been your MVP throughout the season, I have to think, and then Perron was the man at the, you know, he was putting the puck in the net, he was doing the things, and so it'll be interesting when he gets back.
Yes. Hang on. I got a couple of hot topics here because we haven't had Kimby in a while.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't.
We're going to go.
He's on a union break.
I mean, so, I've had him a couple of times. Anyways, since we haven't had him on the radio show, that is, I'm going to go through a couple of hot topic words, buzzwords, okay, Kimby?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then we're going to talk about these things. So
Can Gary spell it before I pronounce it?
Well, just wait. That's going to be
that's what the intern's for.
Well, that's going to be one of them coming up.
Are you going to say minutia to Kimball?
Man, oh, why you got to ruin my pill? I didn't know you were going to do. What the fuck is wrong with you? Fucking Cromer, eh? We set him up today.
I was kidding. I didn't have any
pitches,
idea.
And now he thinks he's taking over. Fucking
oh,
guy.
I didn't know you were going to do that.
Turn his mic off. Fuck it. We're done.
Slideshow show.
That's it. Will, step in. Big Willie's coming in
Slick
for
Willie.
Jim Cromer here. So, all right. So going right back to some of the hot topics before fucking Edward fucking penis hands here jumped in on me. But, we got some of these suspensions in the league these days, okay, Kimby? We saw a couple of hits. We've had Connor McDavid be suspended for 2 games. And then I don't know if you saw the Jack Eichel situation like yesterday or the day before.
Yep.
And then we had Voracek as well. Mm-hmm. What do you think of these suspensions, and what do you think of the plays that are going on? And they're all very similar, so you can kind of talk about all of them.
Yeah, well, I have a hard – where I'm having a hard time with the Rivs is and I guess if you want to go off the suspensions, what they've been giving out this year, the chicken shit stuff that the league's doing right now. So I guess you got to stay intact with it. I have a problem when Eichel and McDavid, they're your best – they're some of the best players in the league right now. And they're not getting any protection. The fucking league don't give a shit. They don't protect them anymore. And – Connor McDavid, just by listening to once in a while, you'll get some Edmonton news, but Hitchcock saying stuff. The fucking guy's not getting protected, and he's your best player in the league. But, you know him. I still say Crosby, but McDavid's going to be your future star, and he's got no protection at all, man. And guys run at him. They go through the process, and you know if you got to stand up for yourself to some point, fuck, I don't care. Do whatever you got to do, man. But you know. Do they go along with what the league's been doing? Yeah, because it's a horseshit league when it comes to that now. So, yeah, you're right.
Okay, so staying on that exact topic, Mark Spector, who's a big writer up in Canada, Sportsnet guy, he put together two little pieces on Twitter talking about how Zadorov, that big mutant Russian defenseman in Colorado, looks Ivan Drago's fucking offspring.
I will break you.
Well, he steps up and crushes Eichel and knocks his helmet off and almost takes his brains out in the same hit.
Yep.
And then, because nothing is really done, a two-minute penalty is given out. Nothing's really done. Jack Eichel, later in the game, makes an aggressive play on Carl Soderberg, I believe, of the Avalanche.
Yep.
And so Mark Spector says, you know, so the skill player is forced to exact his own revenge, but his inexperience in doing so, or at hitting. Now, Zadorov plays tomorrow, which is the mutant, and Eichel... Yep. Gets a 2-game suspension.
Yeah.
Is that where we're at now, where the skill guy's taken into his own hands, but then when he doesn't really know what the fuck he's doing, so he goes overboard?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he doesn't know. I think when you play the game, Rivs, and you know as well as I do, you're only going to take so fucking much. And there's a breaking point at some point in time. I don't give a fuck who you are. And if you're not going to get protected or there's no help going to come because the league's gone in a different direction, which we all know, but if I have to be forced to fucking take care of myself, something, you know, if I was him, I would have cross-checked the fucking guy in the head. That's what I would have did. And I'd have said, here, fucking league, this is what I have to do. I'm one of your future fucking players, and this is where you're not calling it the way you're supposed to call it. So that's what I would have done. And it's unfortunate we're at that situation because now you're, like you said, the guy that causes all the shit, he still gets to play, and the fucking superstar sitting in the stands, which makes no sense to me.
Well, so then let's talk about the message here, right, by the NHL, because in the last couple weeks, they've suspended Connor McDavid, the number one pick overall, and Jack Eichel, the number two pick overall in that draft, and arguably two of the best players, touted to be two of the best players in this era, and they've both been suspended. What's the message we can pull from that, buddy?
Well, here's a question I'd like to ask Rivs, and you know the both guys I'm going to bring up. I know what Holly would say. I already know that because I know what Holly was for when he played the game. So he liked people being around. Mike, and I know the other guy that I'm going to bring up does too. And you know him. I don't know the man as well. I know who he is. But so Gretzky's sitting there. Gretzky was a big part, obviously, of the Edmonton Oilers. You know, and the whole league respected Gretzky, so it wasn't a shit show going after the man, but. I wonder if anyone asks him what they think when McDavid's getting run around like crazy here. I wonder what the great one's saying, you know, because he's got to see the same shit we're seeing and wonder why wouldn't the fucking league take care of these guys? Why don't you take care of what you're going to push your fucking look at the NFL. So all the shit that goes on in the NFL now, Rivs, with all the hitting, the fucking headshots and everything. But who are their prime guys that they're still trying to protect? Are the fucking quarterbacks.
Quarterback.
So I don't know.
Let me ask you a question, both of you guys a question. As former players, would you, I mean, maybe it's not his responsibility, but would you guys like to see a guy like Gretzky step up and say, hey, what are we doing?
That's a sticky situation, though, because he's involved on so many levels now with the NHL. Like, he's on the board for the Edmonton Oilers, for one thing, but he's also working with the league and expanding, you know, the brand, and he's the number one guy working in China right now to try and build up that whole market so the NHL can reap the benefits of that. So it's a sticky situation that the great one's in. Now, if you really want an answer to the question, all you got to do is look at the history of the Edmonton Oilers. And Wayne Gretzky had went so far as to have Dave Semenko on his left wing. He didn't need another winger. How fucking great is that? He was so good. All he needed was Jari Kurri. He didn't need a left winger.
Jari Kurri.
Dave Semenko
JK.
On his left wing. And then he went so far as to not just, you know, be traded to L.A., but demand that Marty McSorley be traded with him to L.A. because he knew that he had his fucking back. So what I think that says everything, doesn't it, Kimby?
Yeah, it does. And then, you know, well, we're there on that. I watched that piece on, they had the thing on the Gretzky trade on TV. I never saw that part before. And when Wayne starts talking about the trade that was going on, and he sort of had to get in to put his foot in the door and say, hey, if we're going to make a fucking trade and these guys are coming, I need these guys coming with me to L.A. to make sure that we're not going to get screwed on the deal. And obviously Marty was part of the deal to make sure that there was someone there to take care of the man, you know?
Yeah. No, and
it was an interesting story. The only reason I was asking, though, Ribs, is because I always go to Gretzky because, you know, he was the man in our time, and he's still, you know, I don't know. A lot of people don't understand how good he was. The people that are living in the world or coming in later in the world, they only hear stories. Like, I only hear stories of Gordie Howe. I didn't know what he was like. I only know stories. So, but Gretzky was the man. I was just kind of curious because I know how he played, and I know it was around him because I was around that time. So I would just be curious what he thinks of Connor McDavid getting his lunch to him every fucking game, and nothing's being done about it.
Well, I know that, you know, off the record, I know for a fact that he thinks it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, read into that what you want, but he certainly recognizes it, and it frustrates a guy like Gretzky to see such a great talent. I don't say being taken advantage of, but he is. And then for the guy to get a 2-game suspension on top of that for, like, one of the 7 hits he's had all year, like, come on. Like,
and that was that. The way they call these hits, though, Ribs, it's fucking, you don't know what the league's going to do. And it's almost like it's almost like they need money or something. And the fucking, because they're just looking for anything that's going on. It's like working at a place and you're trying to work and you got some fucking boss just pecking at you all the goddamn time, trying to find something to get your ass gone down the road. And it's almost like that's what the NHL does. They try to find every little fucking thing going on and they're trying to set a precedent. Everyone knows where the league's going. So, you know, you don't need to be fucking keep going. It's already there. You've got it. You know, it's not going back. So you're there. But treat your fucking players that are going to carry this game in the future. Treat them right, for God's sake.
I agree. Now, speaking of where the NHL is going, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our buddy back home, Don Cherry. And his criticism of my boys down in Carolina doing the storm surge. What do you got for me on that, Kimmy? You think he went off the rails a little bit?
No, he's right on fucking target, and I love everything the man's saying. And I was there the other night, and I was going to put on Twitter when they got beat 8-1. I almost put on there, I wonder what fucking dance they're doing tonight because they got beat. But Don Cherry, to me, is – and I don't know, Rivs, where you stand on the man. I know where I stand, and he brought excitement. He was like the Barry Melrose of the – when Barry got down here to the States and he started getting on ESPN, everyone started, because Barry was telling it like it is and sugarcoating some shit here and there, you know, making the stories interesting. But Graves just tells it like it fucking is. And he's an old school boy. He ran the Boston Bruins when our friend Wire and them were all around. And John Wenzik, who he loves the man. So, and I respect Wire like you respect Wire. And that's all I need is I just need to make sure that the guy is who he is. But Graves always loved the game, and he always loved Canada. It was always Canada's game to him. Even when the Europeans started coming over, he took a hard stand on it, and I know he got jumped for it. But I just like that he's an old school guy, Ribs, and you know that as well as I do. And that's the way the man wants the game to be played. And when you get out of your realm a little bit, People sort of fucking jump on you all the time. And but I respect the man, and I felt bad for him when some guys are jumping him, so I had to jump in the ball game too.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, okay, because you and I go back and forth and we joke around, but in all seriousness, does it really fucking matter if they do the goddamn dance at the end of the game?
It doesn't really, doesn't, no, but you know what? Let me put it to you this way. When I played back in the day when we were growing up, there was some, if that was going on back in the day, do you know how many fucking brawls there would have been?
Well, you know what, Kimby, I said that like a couple of shows ago. I said, I just wouldn't leave the ice if I was the other team. Yeah. I'd stand right at center ice. I mean, and if the league said, I'd be like, well, they're not leaving the ice. Why do we?
Yeah, no, could right? you imagine, like fucking when Dave Brown or Bob Probert were fucking playing, or fucking Twister, we all know Twister. You imagine they started doing that, he'd go stand in the middle of the fucking thing and the shit would start flying. And you know that, and I know that. And that's where I come from too. And you know, you, if they started doing that shit, we would go.
They oh, was just, I know. Well, hey, I hit a mascot in Hershey when playing in the minors one time because I didn't like him shaking his butt at our team. So I know where you're headed with that one.
Hey, speaking of Proby, did you see on Facebook they had the massacre's coming up because they've started playing that again with Kimby grabbing his boy Roenick, but. The Craig Cox Bob Probert fight is making its way around from I think maybe 87 maybe.
That's a long time.
Yeah, oh my God, what a scrap!
But yesterday was the. I guess it was the other day or the last when I went after him, when I fought Proby for the first time. I got traded to St. Louis and I ended up fighting Proby. And so there's one of the guys that the Knuckles or whatever on Twitter says he's going to go through it and set up how this all played out. And I just commented on it and said, I got my ass kicked, and that's bottom line, and that's all that I have to say about it. And, you know, it's just...
Yeah, I saw that Kimby, but that's not fair, okay? Honestly, and I bug you, and I fucking tease you and all that shit, but truth be told here, okay, if somebody actually goes on Twitter and reads about it, because I did. I sat there while I was having a shit, of course.
Gary.
I just want to take our listeners there, okay, to the experience.
And it's a sheet, not a shit, by the way.
I had a shit. And I was reading this whole thing, the backstory on it, and I think what needs to be told is that you were not just up and coming, but you were coming with force into the league and, you know, beating the shit out of a lot of guys and having some great fights. And then the big one that everybody was expecting was Crowder-Probert because Crowder had kind of given it to Probert the time before and this and that and the other. And then you came along and shit-kicked Crowder and really fucked up everything.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what people need to understand. Okay, you fought Bob Probert. Maybe it didn't go as well as it could have in that fight, right? But how many guys could say that? First of all, how many guys said no thank you to Mr. Probert, first of all? And then how many guys experience, you know, being on, you know, the opposite end, not really losing, but not winning the fight. But you really were the shitstorm that hit Probert's parade when you beat the piss out of Crowder. So I think props has to be handed out for that one, big boy.
The only thing that when I fought Proby that game, the only bad thing I did, I ended up fighting Dennis Vial earlier in the game, like 5 minutes earlier. And if anyone don't know him, Dennis Vial was a pretty tough cat.
Strong, big Denny. Yeah. Now, that would have been, you shouldn't have fought him. You should have just had a measure off on Cranium.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, but continue.
I get in that fight, and then, you know, it was with Denny, it was about, 30-second, 40-second fight, and a lot of wrestling got going on. As soon as I come out of the penalty box, I'm coming over to the box, and Sudsy says I'm out there. So I turn, I get out there, and I look, and there's Proby, and I'm going, well, ain't this a cocksucker? And so I'm sitting there, and it goes down the corner, and I go to hit him, and he obviously, he was the man, and I know that, and I tell that to anybody, and, you know, he fought. I remember I seen a comment from Twister back in the day when they were trying to compare Twister and Proby, and Twister basically said Proby was a guy that, you know, he was playing 20 minutes a game or 15 to 20 minutes a game all the fucking time. He said, well, you know, guys were sitting on the bench that did the same job were sitting on the bench playing one or two shifts and would just have to go out and fight him. Well, Proby was playing the game. And that's why I even have a lot more respect because everyone was fighting the fucking man. Every game there was a new guy coming to town. So I knew it was going to happen. I knew I was going to fight him that night. It was just, I got a little derailed, and I'm not saying that's because the man's still going to beat my ass probably, but I just wish I would have went into it a little different animal. But so it is what it is. I call it like it is, and that's the way it looked. So I didn't get hurt. And You know, that one thing about Proby, I always will always say, thank God he fucking didn't swing like Twister, because he would have fucked a lot of guys up.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And we'll have to talk to Twister when we have him on the show about this next one. But I wanted to get your take. I'm sure you saw it, and all of our Twitter people saw it. Unfortunately, there was a situation here in the last week where the video surfaced of Chaser having to fight Twister here in St. Louis.
What be honest with that, though, because you know fucking Chaser as well as I do. He wasn't wanting to fight Twister. He was looking for a little limelight there, I think, and he didn't get the red light went off, and he probably shouldn't have answered that bell, I don't think.
Well, you know, the Twister is going to give everybody the whole story about how that went down, but having been there, the gist of it was that Chaser, this was his first game back in St. Louis since the big trade, and he was kind of, he was running around, he was doing Kelly Chase things, which is what he was supposed to do, and, you know, poking at guys, and then he was motherfucking somebody, and then he turns, and you can see it in the video. He's motherfucking, and he turns, and he sees old Congo there, the silverback, crawling over the boards, and you can just see his face, the demeanor in his face just changed.
Yeah.
And he knew then, he's like, oh, shit. You know, and Twister, at the time, if you look at the fight, right when it begins, he grabs him, and he looks at the bench, and he actually is yelling at Kanan. And he's telling him, is this what you wanted? Is this what you wanted? Two reasons. One, he wanted to fucking yell at Kanan just because. Yeah. And two, he wanted, Chaser to know that it's not like he just came over the boards intentionally to go over and try and fuck up his world. But that, he had been given the old tap on the shoulder. So, go ahead.
You know as well as I do. And when you're dealing with a guy like Twister or a guy like Probert or a guy, anyone that did that job, Craig Berube, myself, whatever, it was a fucking job you had to do. So, I don't give a fuck if it was my brother put out there in front of me, Ribs. I would have fucking fought my brother. And so you got Twister, and you know what Twister was in St. Louis. Fucking the guy's an icon here and well should be, because he was the toughest guy in the league at the time. And a lot of people in St. Louis love those kind of players. So they had the best in the league. So even though Chaser was a fan favorite here also, coming in and you're gonna start barking at the fucking little boy's or at the big boy's feet, things aren't gonna fucking work out, because Twister's got a reputation to fucking hold. And so when Chaser even fucking enters that game, well, you get what you get, what you want, it's coming. So you could put it on Kanan, but it Twister's gonna take care of fucking business.
Can you imagine if people knew Twister's record of off ice fights too? Oh my lord, right? Good lord.
Yes.
Funny to think about. Speaking of brothers, you talked about fighting your brother. Speaking of brothers, how are those Tkachuk boys looking, Kimby?
Yeah, fuck that. They're looking, aren't they? Yeah, they're looking. Oh,
hat trick for my one stepson last night. Hey, Matthew, with a hat trick.
Yeah, hat trick. Yep.
Brady, top scorer now in Ottawa by default.
As I tell you, I got nothing wrong with the kids. The kids are doing their job. I got the problem with the old man. But the kids, hey, he's playing the game the way it should be played. He's, the Calgary team's at the top of the ladder. So I got hats off. The man's going to get a hell of a contract out of the deal, but he deserves it. He's playing well.
I know. I'm just bugging you. And we've been segueing into everything here today. When you listen to the show, you'll hear it's been kind of fun. But the last thing I have for you, and Big Willie, on this one, you're going to come in at the end of it. We had a friend of ours in the studio today, Gary Henson, who used a word. The word was minutia. Darren Kimball and Gary right now, but Darren Kimball, what does minutia mean? Do we know?
I have no fucking idea.
Okay,
what
all right. Well, pause on that. Hang on, Cromer. You've already said enough. Fuck off. Now, Henson,
I know what minutia means. I promise you.
Gary Henson, what does minutia mean?
It's like very small. Very small details.
Why are you looking down?
I'm not looking down at my phone.
At your lower region when you said that.
No, I'm not. Well, it wouldn't matter because I can't see it anyway. My gut's in the way
of
that.
You got the dicky-do?
Your
belly sticks out further than your dicky-do?
Way further.
A dicky-do.
Way further.
It's more than just small, though.
More
trivial.
So hang on, Big Willie coming in from
it's
the
more
bullpen.
Trivial details. Cromes, not just
get
small, trivial details.
Okay, Cromes, we're going to get the official definition here. Big Willie, hit us.
So according to Google's dictionary, it's the small, precise, or trivial details or something.
All right. So now, that's half a point.
Did you hear him say dictionary?
Okay, half a point now.
It's dictionary, by the way.
But now spell it, Gary.
Minutia?
Yes.
Can't.
Okay, Kimball? You want to take a shot at it?
No, I don't. But no, but where's it coming from? Why are you bringing this word out? Who had it?
Because Gary vomited it up earlier in the show, and we all laughed because he used the word minutia.
I know where, words.
So, Gary, where did you come up? Why did you come up with the word minutia? Was that on your brain, or who said it to you?
No. I'm the only one in the room with a college degree. So
no, the only one looking at your phone.
It ranks right up there with placate.
Placate.
But I knew that, though. I knew that
Can
one.
Can I try to spell minutia?
Yeah, let's go. Cromer, our resident expert.
M-I-N-U-T-S-A-E?
Not even close. Big Willie says swing and a miss.
How close am I, though?
Well, it's M-I-N-U-T-I-A-E.
All
right. Okay, Kimby, look it. I know that you're pretending that you're having a dump at work right now. They're going to think you have some sort of a sickness with all this time we've taken up. But thank you very much for coming in, buddy. I miss you in the studio. We're going to try and figure out something here in the next little while to either after hours get in here or something like that. But thanks for taking our call. We love you, brother. We miss you. And I know that everybody's happy that we got to hear your voice today.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to be on, guys. I've been missing it, too. And, you know, the schedule screwed up a little bit. But it's got to be good times, though, because you guys, the Blues have been on a tear here. So it'd be nice reporting on that. And the fans got to be loving it up. So keep up the good work, guys. Keep up the good work.
All right, brother. We'll see you soon. Take care of yourself there, Kemble.
All right. Take care.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
All right, guys. Now
that was great.
Now he's back. See,
that
everybody,
was great.
I put he's back last week.
I know
week
you
with
didn't
Brayden
know you
Shen.
Were. You didn't know you were
know.
Fucking yourself on that one, did you?
Fine, but now he's back.
Now
so
he's
we'll,
actually
we'll
back. So
that,
you know what you should do today?
Kimble.
He's back.
Yeah.
Right, and just have like some other random picture and see how many people bite.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Or you can write he's back and put the milk carton
could
picture.
Put the, yes, that's what I think what
we
we're
can
gonna
do that.
So. Great stuff. Great show. Will, welcome to the team. You did a good job.
Will
today.
Did a great job today.
Will, you did a great job
Thanks,
today.
Guys.
Let's leave with this last point. What do you expect from this team if the guy that's been pumping it in the net's going to be out for a minimum of 10 days? The schedule kind of plays into their favor
a
little bit,
but
you don't take anything for granted. What do you expect from this team?
Well, based upon some of the reports that we saw here early today, And we're looking on Twitter as we go. You know, David Perron was on the ice with the team, mixed in with the fourth line and some of the first line rushes and things like that. So we'll see where that leads. Hopefully he comes back and he can jump in on that right wing and kind of keep that line pumping goals. But it's also a situation where I don't think we want him to rush back and then be out for the remainder of the season and playoffs. So it's a catch-22, guys. I want him back in. I want us to keep, you know, plugging away. But I do think we have enough in the reserve from the rest of our guys to keep this going.
Gary, would you say, for me, getting healthy at this juncture with the remaining games left and where we sit, I know everybody wants to chase down Nashville and all this, but I still think we can do that because, it's next man up mentality, right? But
right.
I'd say getting healthy right now is important.
Well, absolutely, but I still like watching the young guys play. So
yeah.
I don't think there's much rush. You know how big fan of Sammy Blay and
well, Sammy Blay needs to play more.
I was just gonna say
Barbashev
that. How
and
good
Blay,
were they?
They almost need to move both of those guys up in the lineup.
Okay,
and play
good?
Them with another real right winger.
Right.
I love Mackenzie McEachern, but I'm just saying. Can you imagine if you gave them a David Perron on their line or something like that? You know,
they dominated against the Sharks. That line dominated the Sharks every time they were on the ice. I love watching those guys. So if we have to take our time to get healthy with some of the, you know, the more key players, I'm okay with that because these guys are getting their job done. That's all there is to it. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. And I know you're going to agree with me. 49 has been unbelievable
unsung
this
hero,
year.
Unsung hero, for sure.
Unsung hero.
John Hamm loves him. But, Ivan Barbashev.
Yeah.
Ivan Barbashev.
But, what a great call, though, by the way. I mean,
I love this play, and I love this goal. We should have T-shirts made up like that.
But, man, those
guys. With the hammer. You know why they call him the hammer?
Go ahead.
Come on. You ever seen some of those pictures?
No.
He's walking around with a limp for a reason, that guy.
Oh, boy.
John Hamm, the hammer. Hammer time.
This guy. But, man, I'm all in favor of watching Sammy Blay and Barbashev play more. Get more ice, like you were saying. I would do that.
I agree.
Sure.
Will, did you have fun?
Oh, yeah.
A closing thought from you, sir?
Well, so I'm excited to be here. Long-time fan of the show and good to actually be here.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, I was looking for your thoughts on the Blues, but we'll.
He's going to learn quickly that this thing just flies off the rails every minute or so.
Well, no, we're happy to have you, and don't worry. Gary will send you texts about his dry cleaning and coffee and things like that. So. But, hey, guys, nice. Great show. It was great to have Kimby back. We do want to remind everybody, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to our social media sites. At
Share
STL
it with
Blues
your friends,
Podcast.
Guys. We want lots of people to get on this. I like getting all the feedback.
At STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we'll follow you back. Find us on Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. Please don't forget our pinned posts. Share them, like them, and comment on them. That's how we make them relevant and reach more people. Of course, you can find us on Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast, and as part of lineupmedia.fm, home of Yale Radio, the newest streaming platform on your mobile device. You heard us mention everybody earlier. Let's say one last shout-out to all of them, to our friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, the name you know and trust. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's going to be a little busy, probably for a couple days at the Henson household, but other than that, he's ready to take care of you. Don't forget our new friend, Noel Buckingham, Buckingham Pest Control. They kill pests, not penalties, but they pass the savings on to you. Get over to their Facebook page. Make sure you share their pinned post, and you will be eligible for tickets to the hockey game, which you'll be here next Monday for.
Quick question about Gary's house is, when you have workers or multiple workers go in there, do you put the blocks behind the wheels? Make sure the house doesn't roll away.
Adam Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis. Don't forget them. They do deliver. Open till 7 o'clock on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. They do box lunches. Don't forget their catering
You're
service.
Such an ass.
St. Louis.
My house.
Here's your cue.
I don't need blocks. My house has
SynergyHockeySkills.com. Our friend Jamie Rivers providing great training and skating for all ages, and very happy to help you improve your game. To our friends in Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com. You guys can know and trust them. They are the name you you want to associate with all of your landscaping needs. 5-star locally rated company. Folks, they're tremendous people. I can't say enough about them. For all of our friends out there in Blues Nation, I can't tell you enough. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.